Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it's treating you good for this May 9th, 2023. 9:04 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. How you doing, Mel?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good thing. Good. Here. We're in the final hour already.
Wow. How did that happen?
Flew right by. We got some entertainment news to get into. We're going to do that in just a little bit. We're also going to get into some That Ain't Right stories. We got some good stories of the day. We have some local good stories of the day we want to touch on. All that. We want to talk Hoozle's rise to music as well. We will get to all of those things. But as we were talking about just yesterday, it's cancellation season.
Oh yeah,
In TV, that's going on a lot right now. A lot of your shows or those kind of shows, they're on the edge there of possibly being canceled or not. Are kind of in flux right now.
Yes,
it's a tough time for a lot of viewers who are uncertain. It's really difficult right now for the people working on these shows.
Oh yeah.
We talked yesterday about Shamir Moore and the cancellation of SWAT and how much that affected him, how much it affected that whole team, really. Because Shamir was coming from a place of not just defending himself, but fighting for the show, fighting for the writers,
everybody who was employed by that show.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that this was a misunderstanding, according to CBS. It didn't last long. CBS uncanceled SWAT 2 days after announcing it was done. It's been renewed for a 7th and final season. It's a shorter amount of episodes. They'll have 13 episodes, and it will be their final season, but they're able to wrap it up. Shamir Moore has changed his tune and said, quote, "Hey, we did it, SWAT fam. Thank you all for all of you continuing an amazing support. Let's go." A CBS executive said they changed their minds after listening to viewers and their outpouring of passion for SWAT.
Good.
On the other side of this, True Lies and East New York weren't so lucky. They were both canceled after one season. Unfortunate to hear. I didn't hear much about the True Lies thing. I know it was based on the movie. But East New York starred Jimmy Smits. And I'm a big Jimmy Smits guy. I love Jimmy Smits. And he's he plays a great cop, a great police officer. I was really hopeful for that show. I never saw it, to be fair. But I was hoping for a show
that
to work out.
Yeah, but when you like an actor a lot,
you
want to see what they're working on.
I've never seen one episode of Blue Bloods, but I don't mind Tom Selleck. I was rooting for him, and that show has been on for a long time. Mm-hmm. But CBS is, like a lot of networks, trying to recalculate. Now, none of these networks are hurting for money. Not even NBC, which has come in fourth place to all the major networks for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are hurting for money. Do not let them get this twisted and missed like it is. Do they have to be smarter with their money? Yes. We see this all the time with businesses, whether it's a young business or an old business. You have a pie chart. You have only so many funds. How are you going to spend them? Mm-hmm. Are you going to micromanage? Are you going to create meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting and these kind of things and not let your people do their job?
Mm-hmm.
Or put the money where it doesn't belong? You know, a lot of networks are trying to figure this out. CBS has an older viewership traditionally, so they lean into that, and they have their FBI show.
With what works. They've got a formula.
NCIS New Orleans, NCIS Albuquerque, NCIS Nacusa. They've got all of those and stuff because it works. The ratings are there, but the ratings have been dwindling, and I don't mean to say this cruelly, but because their audience isn't going to be the audience isn't going to be there year after year because they're passing away. They're moving on, if you will, and everything.
And then they're not attracting a newer, younger audience.
Right. And this is something that every business runs into in one way or another. And it is the crossroads.
It's a balancing act for them because they have to keep the audience they have, but then also bring in new audiences.
And while you're doing that, you have to pull from that pie chart. It's got to come from somewhere.
Right.
A show that is on the border ratings-wise is probably not going to get its second season, whereas in years past, it might have at CBS because they were playing with house money. They were the number one network. So they could afford to take a chance, let a show go another season to see how it does and that kind of thing. Those days aren't really going on.
They get the chopping block now.
And especially with the writer's strike right there, which everybody is tightening the purse strings now. Everybody is worrying about that. And everybody is going to tell you you can tell where people fall on the sides of this when they go right away like, well, we're losing money too. There's a big difference of a writer losing money and a company losing money.
Yes.
If you are losing, if you are a company and you are, you know, you're hemorrhaging money, you are not running that company right. Like, you can't, like, you can point the finger at a lot of different places, but it's always got to come back to you. Like, mm-hmm. true leadership, you don't get to be the big dog for nothing. Like, right. if you're running something, you are, you get the credit for when things are going right, and you also got to take the heat and take the responsibility when they're not. Mm-hmm. That's why you see, like, a guy in charge of, like, CBS since we were kids, out. You know, things like that. Like, whoa, what would they get rid of him for? Because somebody's got to, there's got to be accountability for these mm-hmm. things. It can't just be blamed on shows and actors and all this. Sometimes that is the case. Sometimes it is just a bad show, or it is just bad, you know.
Bad writing or bad casting, whatever.
Who gave them the green light?
Yep.
Who gave, you know, it starts at the top. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how these things work and stuff. So,
the difference too is if a company's hemorrhaging money, it's not affecting it the same way as a writer. Not getting paid, can't pay rent, can't buy food, can't, you know, make bills. That's a vast difference.
Yeah. It looks like Sum 41 is breaking up again, I think. I thought they already broke up, to be honest. I'm not trying to be mean. Sum 41. It's a band.
Oh, don't even know them.
It's got to be weird to hear a band breaking up when you didn't even know who the band was. It's like, okay.
Rock band. Okay.
They are breaking up after they release their next album and celebrate with, quote, a worldwide headlining tour. The band issued a statement saying, quote, being in Sum 41 since 1996 brought us some of the best moments in our lives. We are forever grateful to our fans, both old and new, who have supported us in any way. It is hard to articulate the love and respect we have for all of you, and we wanted to you to hear this from us first. The next album is called Heaven and Hell, and it's a double album. There's no word yet on a release date or dates for their farewell tour. They're currently scheduled to do the Let the Bad Times Roll tour with The Offspring and Simple Plan. That is in August and September. Part of the reason I bring this up, does any band really break up? I'm not talking about when a band member passes. That's completely different.
No, that's different.
But no band really breaks up. I remember being heartbroken in high school when Living Color broke up and Kurt Loder comes on with MTV News and, you know, Living Color, a band with a cult of personality, a big hit, broke up today, and it broke my heart. That's my favorite band in the world. And I'm like, oh God, they'll never get back together, blah, 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 blah. And I tell my dad this and he just laughs. I'm like, how dare you laugh at my pain, old man? Like, oh, who are you? I wasn't there to make fun of you with this band or that band. He's like, Jimmy, rock bands never break up. They'll get back together. I'm like, no, Dad, they really mean it. It's creative differences. I mean, you don't fix something like that. Oh, Jimmy, they sure enough.
Just be patient.
Living Color is touring right now. you knew.
Well,
knew
if this is
about.
Their second breakup,
yeah. Now, there's breaking up, and then there's retiring.
Yeah.
I find the music industry interesting with this, where you can have your artist like a Cher who just never really retires, never falls out of the public eye, does a little bit of acting here and there, wins an Oscar for Moonstruck, and still continues to tour and do music and all that. But then you see this, you don't see this with a lot of actors, where they're actors and they get a music, they do some music, and then they go to music just, and they never act again. But you see a lot of musicians like go from being Christina Aguilera or something, and being known for music, and now, she's still pretty popular, but when's the last time she came out with a song, you know?
Yeah.
The guy from Maroon 5 or whatever, that guy with the high-pitched voice I can't handle. a lot of these artists nowadays, they have a couple of hit albums, and then they kind of, like, slowly go away from music, and then they just become kind of like
into something else.
Pop people. A lot of musicians go into acting and make a career out of that. And then, like, Justin Timberlake. When's the last time Justin Timberlake had a song? Like, a hit song or anything like that. But he's got movies coming out after Left and Right and everything.
Well, interest shifts.
Well, it's the essence of music in general. We always use the Beatles as an example. They went from, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want to keep doing the same old.
Over and over and over.
And The Weeknd is no different. The Weeknd says his next album may be his last hurrah. But only as The Weeknd. The guy behind the character will probably continue to make music under his real name, Abel Tesfaye.
Okay.
Abel Tesfaye is a great name, but you could have gone with that too. You could have. he says, quote, "I'm going through a cathartic path right now. I want to kill off the weekend, and I will eventually, as the weekend, I've said everything I can say."
All right.
He has gone into the acting world and has a project that is either out or going to be coming out that there's a lot of hype on it. I think it's coming on Netflix or Hulu, one or the other. And he's kind of making this branch into that world. He's done this already a little bit with music videos and his performances in general. So I think this is something he's wanted to do anyway. And a lot of singers will look at the acting game as quote-unquote different or better or easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's not. Trust me, it's not. But I would say... It could be a little bit easier when you're used to this job and it's, you go to this
job.
Yeah,
it's different.
There are plenty of actors I've heard say, "Wow, this music game's simple." You know, for them going into it because it's not their lifeblood. They've got a day job. They've got something that they can rely on. Bruce Willis wants to do an album, comes out with an album. It doesn't do very well. The Return of Bruno is one of the greatest names of an album ever, though. And he is a great harmonica player. Bruce Willis was a really good harmonica player. But that album bombed horribly. It didn't matter. Didn't hurt his career.
No, because he still can survive as an actor, obviously.
Still one of the biggest box office stars of all time. Yeah. And that was in the 80s when he did that. Didn't kill his career. You know, had that day job to fall back on. Oh God, you got to look up the video. It's classic. You have to see Bruce Willis doing his best Bruce Springsteen impression. It's great.
Wow.
And he gives it. He gives it all. You could, if that album had done even a little well, all of us fans of him as an action star would be like missing out, I feel like. He might have gone just into music.
Hmm.
John Goodman talked about doing that. Like he was such a music fan and would have gladly went into music over acting.
Hmm.
John Belushi, very similar. Dan Aykroyd, really? Very similar. The Blues Brothers was in part because they wanted to be musicians.
To be
they
musicians.
Love music.
Hmm.
It's not unheard of. It's just interesting to see. Is somebody who all I've wanted is stability in my career, whether it's as an actor or radio or anything like that. I've gone from job to job. Just give me some stability. And when it comes to an entertainer, I'm not a struggling artist. I'm a surviving artist.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working and I'm building an IMDb. I'm building a career, but it's taking time here and it's all that stuff and everything. The idea of I have this set career. You know what I'm going to do? Throw caution to the wind. I'm going to try something else.
Do something else.
I find that brave in many ways. Like not there's a big difference of going into a burning building brave and brave like this. They're two very different worlds. But I do think it creatively it's brave.
Yes, it is creatively brave. And I mean, it can be a little bit of a risk, too, depending on where you're at financially.
Yeah. We're going to touch on Huzo's rise to music in a moment. Before we do, though, I am very nervous about this Britney Spears autobiography coming out.
Really?
And I'm not alone. Yeah, they.
You're nervous about it.
They put Britney Spears' autobiography on hold because her famous friends are worried about what's in it.
Oh no!
And I'm not one of them. No, I'm not. I'm not one of them. No. But sources say, quote, "Strongly worded legal letters have been sent to the publishers by people who know Britney and who fear what she has written." Quote, "Britney is brutally honest in the book, and there are a lot of nervous A-listers." I imagine one of them has the initials JT that we talked about earlier. The last anyone heard, the book was supposed to come out in fall. There's no word on if it still will. Usually this happens after the book's released.
Yeah.
Think about how many people have to be messaging these publishers and how many big names have to be in order for this to come out like this. Because this stuff usually gets like hidden under wraps until the book is released. And then they can get this kind of fanfare. They don't even have the book released yet.
Well,
they don't even have a date for the book release.
It speaks to the things that have happened, that they know if she's going to be brutally honest about things in her life, that they're going to be talking about them.
I've said this before on the air. I don't understand why people jaywalk even anymore. They're going to catch you. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. I was watching one of those Forensic File episodes once, and they couldn't solve this crime. They ended up, like, the guy goes over to the person who he thinks it could be, the you know, criminal, goes over to their apartment, and this guy feels like he's got it made. They're never going to catch him and stuff. He even offers the officer a beer. And the officer sees that he's got a sixer in there, but there's only five beers. One's missing. So he goes back to the scene of the crime. finds the beer bottle. Doesn't have the guy's fingerprints on it or anything like that. But it does have a serial code on it. And the serial code is the exact same as the other five bottles. They land the guy, put him in the spot. Guy's doing life now. You can't get away with anything anymore. Like, yeah. I don't know why people do anything like that. I don't know why people think that they can, like, chickens won't come home to roost when it comes to any of these stories. Like, I feel like in nowadays society, you're way better off owning stuff.
Yeah.
Just own it. Own it and beg for forgiveness and move on with your life. Like, the idea of doubling down, like we see a lot of people do, nobody respects that. Just because you get away with it doesn't mean that people respect you. Other people that are wannabe alphas and these kind of things and stuff may respect a Santos guy or somebody like that that just keeps doubling down. But rational society does not see that as a charming thing or something that's smart.
Like, no.
We're getting farther and farther away from what fact and truth is. And some of those kind of people that do those things are affecting that.
Yes.
It's important for the rest of us rational-minded people in society to call that out and have some accountability, for God's sake. I mean, you know, and look, I'm sorry, Timberlake. I'm sorry to any of these famous people. It's her book. Like, you know, if you didn't like it, probably shouldn't have done the stuff that you did back in the past. Like, chickens come home to roost.
Yeah.
Mine did.
And to be fair, we all make mistakes. We all do dumb things.
You'd be better off owning this. The book's going to come out. The book, this stuff, even if the book isn't released in its present form and you think you've hidden this stuff, it will come to light.
Because she's got the original somewhere.
And it's going to get leaked. It's going to get out there. Like, there's no way it won't by any means. So it's just a matter of time. I really think you're better off just owning this stuff. We wanted to talk about Hoozle's rise to music. This is one of our favorite events in the world. We love this. And it's only our second one. And we're so excited about it.
We are. And it's a great opportunity for artists. I mean, maybe you want to be the next Britney Spears. No, I'm kidding. Maybe you don't. But if you are a musician, you want to be a part of this competition, go to hoozlesrisetomusic.com, put in your registration. You only need 15 minutes of performance of music, and you can do this any way you want. You can accompany yourself on a guitar or a piano, or you can sing a cappella. You can use backup tracks. You can use whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
And you can be one, two, or three artists. They're capping it at that. It can be covers. It can be originals.
Yeah.
The floor is yours. We want to get you registered for this because these start in June.
Yeah.
And it'll be every Thursday in June. And I did actually read this thing you gave me here so I could have the correct information.
Yeah.
The last competition is on July 20th. You know, do my research beforehand.
I appreciate that.
But it's kicking off on Thursday, June 8th. So those of us that are going to go and enjoy the music and listen and be entertained by all these amazing local musicians, mark your Thursday starting June 8th with the grand finale performance on July 20th. We've got a whole list of awesome prizes, but head to Hoozle's Rise to Music. I'm sure it's all listed out there. This year, you're going to also have additional exposure on across the state of Wisconsin through Civic Media Radio Network. You'll be on our Director's Cut show that plays on Sunday nights, but then also the Max Inc. Radio, which I believe they're out of Madison.
Yes, yes.
But that plays across the state. So there's no entry fees for this. Just head over there, sign up. We want to get you involved. We want you to meet other local musicians. That's one of the great things about this. It brings people together that maybe wouldn't have met otherwise.
Yeah.
And then with what happened last year, we had great friendships that were formed, collaborations that have come out of this there where they're now performing together. And it's really cool to see.
Yeah, we're so humbled by this event for our artists, for our community. It's a great opportunity to support local, buy local, those kind of things. It's also a lot of fun. It's a great time. Your Thursdays are covered all summer long, baby. I mean, this is a great time. Hoozle's is one of just a wonderful place to have a cup of water, let alone taking a good concert and everything that.
And they have delicious food. And I've refrained from mentioning their bathrooms, but their bathrooms outside are awesome.
They really are. are. They're really nice. And everybody loves music competition shows.
Yeah.
Like, people love those shows and everything. You get to be a part of one. Mm-hmm. You get to be like right there. No middleman. You're seeing it live and direct.
Yep.
And you're taking in these musicians like a Kyler Cusio from mm-hmm. last year, who if any day now is going to be a household name. That you see these artists early on and can be a part of their story. Mm-hmm. It's pretty darn cool.
And that's the where Steph got the name Rise to Music, because she really saw this, and her vision was to start something that could help these local musicians rise up in the music industry, and this is their launching platform.
It is a fun, awesome time. We encourage you to be a part of this. Again, go to hoozlesrisetomusic.com to find more information. And you know musicians, we all do. Mm-hmm. Spread the word about this. Let them know and encourage them to be a part of this. It could be life-changing.
Yeah. And if you don't play an instrument, but you sing, you can bring another person to play an instrument for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. I will offer my I do play a mean air guitar. If anybody needs an air guitar, I also play air cornet and air trumpet as well.
And I am more than qualified in the tambourine.
Right on. So see, we're even offering our services.
We have backup band for you.
Yeah, there you go. we will take a quick commercial break before we do. Pam sent over her concert tickets when her and Carl went and saw Elton John and Billy Joel. God, I'm so jealous of that. I'm so jealous. It sounds like such an awesome concert. It's, yeah, let's see. That was back in 2003.
Nice.
That's interesting. Oh, and it was last month. It would April 8th, 2003, that they went to that concert. That's pretty cool. Thank
wow,
you, Pam.
20 years ago.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a great one out there. 9:27 on the clock. I want to touch on this story real quick before we get to Melissa's news. It's a little close to Mother's Day to be, taking shots at moms and everything here. But these people don't care, apparently. A survey by dating.com found overbearing moms have a real talent for sabotaging their kids' relationships.
Ooh.
Two-thirds of people say that they have dated someone whose mom had a negative impact on their relationship. Over half of those people claim it was the main reason they stopped dating them.
Wow.
That's a pretty big number right there.
Mm-hmm.
I would never blame my mother for any of my poor decisions or my bad dating guy or anything like that. I have no idea if there's any truth to that or not for myself.
And I'm just wondering, you know, which way it was. Was the mom overbearing and meddlesome because she didn't like the person her child was dating?
Yeah.
Or was that just her personality?
Yeah, yeah. Good question. I think that's a really good question about this. Here are a few more quick stats on moms and dating. 78% of single people say being overly close with your mom is a deal breaker. It just depends on how you define overly close.
Yeah.
Yeah, but,
I have questions.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a case-by-case thing because everybody's going to have a different version of what overly close is. I would think it's a good thing that if you have a good relationship with your mother, I wouldn't see a downside to that, but I can see that, you know, hey, you want to live your own life and stuff, and you know, you're calling your mother every 5 seconds asking her opinion about something. That could be a lot.
That could be invasive, but... those 70-some percent of people, what is their relationship with their mother like?
That's a good question. Yeah. 48% say a partner's mom has tried to pull strings and intervene in a relationship at least once. 48% seems low. seems low to me. Maybe that's just me coming from having a Jewish mother. I don't know, but that seems low.
Well, I don't know. I think that especially if you go to your mom and talk about your relationship or, you know, if you're interacting with her about about it, that opens the door for her to reply.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's just coming at you with, I don't like your girlfriend.
It's funny to me.
It's a little different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is different. And I have to give my mom a lot of credit for that and this next part, because my mom, very adamant about, Jimmy, if I don't like her, that doesn't matter. Very clear about that from an early age. Like, it's not me. I'm not dating her.
Right.
You are, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's an important thing for parents to remember.
I always thought that was cool. And another thing that was a big deal to my mom, and not that there was any danger of this, especially with my father and the kind of like rebellious personality I had, but she was not going to have mama boys. She did not, to her, a mama boy is a future yes man. And that has no, that isn't who, that wasn't who her son was going to be. And boy, did she get what she, but she did not get what she bargained for. That's for sure. And she didn't, I don't think she planned on me rebelling against her. I don't think like that kind of stuff. But yeah, the next one here, 62% think that being a mama's boy suggests a guy is less likely to help with chores like laundry and dishes.
What?
I don't know about that, but I will say I've heard from a lot of women, and I've read like two different articles over the last year that I found very interesting about men and the way we interpret relationships. And I think a lot of people out there understand, hey, there's those guys that are looking basically for a mom. Like, they're looking for their mom or something like that, which is just weird and, you know, a whole other level, and we're not going to get into a lot of that stuff. But there's the level right under that. Of the guy who, yeah, they're not looking for their mom, basically, but they are looking for a maid. They are looking for somebody that basically just take care of them.
Yep.
And that kind of, and that doesn't really, you know, I mean, maybe there's people out there that are looking for that. Maybe there's women out there or other men or what have you and stuff that are looking for that. But I have a hard time believing that.
A partnership should be that. A partnership. Both parties contribute.
Yeah. I
mean, if a partner is okay with, okay, all I do is cook, clean, and keep the bed warm, and they're okay with that, that's their choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think that's the truth in most relationships.
I think that it's important to have a backbone, to have opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean that you go around barking everywhere and doing all that stuff and everything.
No, but you should be able to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's
self-advocate.
Not only does your partner want that, probably, but it's good for you. It's healthy for you. It's important for you to be able to do that. And everybody deserves to be able to do that. You should never be with a partner that you feel like you have to walk around on eggshells, or you don't feel like you can express your opinion. Yeah. I think especially as we talk about dysfunctional relationships and mental health and a lot of these things, we tend to go with physical or mental abuse right away. Certainly we should. Those are big problems.
Yeah, but verbal and emotional abuse are damaging too.
Yes, and there's gaslighting. There's all kinds of different manipulation tactics and things that people do. And I don't even, and not at all to take responsibility away, I don't think some people even realize they do it.
It's possible. If that was the environment that they grew up in. It's very easy to perpetuate those habits and fall into those ruts.
It's not about taking away accountability.
No.
It is dissecting the problem so that we can solve it. There's a big difference of that. There's a big difference of, oh, it's not my fault. Society did this to me. It's not my fault. Mom and dad raised me this way
But realizing that I am that way because of my environment.
I grew up in
the first step.
And that goes a long way. The worst mama boy traits are not being independent enough and not being able to make decisions.
I was going to ask, what makes a guy a mama's boy?
I that's a good question, actually. I think like I have this assumption of what it is in my head. But hearing that kind of like gives like words to the description.
Yeah, not being able to make decisions. And what was the other one?
And not being independent enough.
Not being independent enough. Okay. Yeah, I guess.
I think
needing your security blanket, so to speak.
So a lot of us, you're in a relationship and you have that moment where you go to a family get together, their family get together, and you don't know anybody. And are you the kind of person that has to follow them everywhere? And everything, or are you the kind of person that can
strike up a conversation,
you know, venture out on your own in this new world and everything and explore a little bit and talk to her relatives and, you know, cousins and things like that? I'm a little of both. It takes me a minute, being completely honest. It takes me a minute to get rolling here. But once it does, I'm like, all right, let's go ahead and mingle here.
Broke the ice with somebody and now we're good.
It's usually all it takes. One person breaking the ice and I'm fine after that.
Well, and that can be that way in any new situation where you don't know people. But with family, it can be a little more awkward.
Yeah, the first day of school is usually like that, right? You know, it can be like that. We'll take a break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with the Then Ain't Right story, good stories of the day, and plenty more for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I just love Alice in Chains so much. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Got a cool story here, a local good story, if you will. And I want to thank the reporting being done on this one to Christine M. Kadzirik
She works out with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Nice.
Big shout out to Christine. Does good reporting. Here in Wisconsin, we've always been crazy for cheese curds. It's all about the squeak and the crunch to it or whatever for some. If you like them,
the firm.
Yeah, that kind of thing. No one knows better than Ryan LeGrander as Wisconsin's newest master cheesemaker certified in cheese curds.
Ooh.
He joins an elite group as only the second person to receive the hard-earned title.
Second person.
Like his father, Randy, LeGrander is also a Wisconsin master cheesemaker in Colby, Cheddar, and Monterey Jack. Since 1960, the family has been expanding LeGrander's Hillside Dairy. In the beginning, LeGrander's grandfather and grandmother were hands-on in making cheese. Customers would walk right through the cheese plant to his grandfather's desk to purchase cheese. Today, LeGrander's Hillside Dairy crafts more than 50 varieties of specialty cheese, including Colby, Cheddar, Gouda, Monterey Jack, and Pepper Jack. Spicy varieties like Mango Habanero and Scorpion Pepper. Scorpion Pepper, I'd never heard of that before, have become customer favorites. Fans of fresh cheese curds, don't fret. They are still making plenty of those. They sell the white and yellow cheese curds plus other cheese Monday through Saturday at their retail store on site.
Nice.
LeGrander's Hillside Dairy is 6 miles south of Highway 29 over in Stanley. The farm store is being expanded and shifting to a new space this summer, so that's pretty cool. And always,
that's exciting.
Anytime you hear of a farm or anything like that expanding.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
They've been doing this since for a long time, and the roots are all in this and everything.
Oh, yeah. If grandparents were doing it, how cool.
To me, the big headline is Master Cheesemaker Certified in Cheese Curds. I'm putting that on business cards if I'm him. Like, right. Especially, you're the only second one that gets this title and everything like that. I understand Wisconsin cheese. It's been talked about to death. Everybody knows and understands that. But these kind of little stories inside like that happen, they get kind of pushed to the side often. This is a legacy move. This is something it's a big deal. That's pretty darn cool.
That is really cool. There's a lot of pride, though, Wisconsinites have in our dairy industry and cheese making specifically. You're not going to have deep fried cheese curds anywhere else in the world that tastes as good as they do here.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly. I did not know what to do with myself when I moved out to California and I couldn't find cheese curds or cheese fries. I was living on those at the time. Like when I was out here, that was pretty much what I lived on were those things. And I move out to California, I'm like going to the grocery store and I'm looking for cheese fries. They ain't got nothing. They got nothing of it. They did. And I thought it was even more surprising because California is one of the ones that likes to compete with Wisconsin as far as being a dairy state and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could not find them out there. I was starving for a good couple of hours and days before mixing out on them.
So I had to look it up to see who the other master cheese curd maker is. Steve Stetler.
Again, I'd be walking up to strangers and handing them my business card. Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything, but I am a master of cheese curds.
And he's also from Wisconsin, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Decanter Dairy.
I don't know. It seems like a pretty cool thing.
It is cool.
Again, a shout out to Christine for the great reporting and always support journalism. Support we got some great papers in this state.
Yes,
some great journalists in this state. I happen to work with one of them right across from me here. encourage you to support real journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Something we do here at Civic. Something that we're very proud of. Yeah, and we got some great reporters here. We got some great coverage that we're able to do. We will take a quick commercial break, come back with a That Ain't Right story. And you got to hear this one, everybody.
Okay.
This is an interesting one. It's coming up along with some local good stories of the day and plenty more for you. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates all morning long from my great friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Shout out to Paul Trombley and the gang over there. Always fun talking with them. They will join us again tomorrow in the morning.
All right.
We got to wrap up the show here. Take you right to the top of the hour. Got some good stories of the day we want to talk about. Some local good stuff that we're going to get into and looking forward to that. But for right now, got to touch on our feature That Ain't Right story of the day. And like I was talking about yesterday, I'd like to do a little more of this where we're not necessarily necessarily picking on one person, but a subject matter.
Okay.
And that's where we're going with this one here today. And this is interesting. Most people agree this is something you should not do. And yet it turns out a lot of people do it. And I find this to be a that ain't right story. 82% of Americans say that they have snooped through someone's phone before.
Really? 82%?
That is insane.
That's a high number.
We don't get those kind of numbers for like elections and stuff. Like, that's incredible. Women were even more likely to say they've done it, 88% compared to 77% of men. Quote, general curiosity and, quote, suspicion of wrongdoing were the top two reasons people say they snoop. And a lot of those searches are fruitful. 53% of snoopers say that they have found something incriminating before. And here are a few more snooping stats. The top two people we've snooped on are significant others and exes. 9% have also looked through a kid's phone, friends' phones. 8% have done that. Parents and siblings, 7% there. And 3% of us have looked through a coworker's device.
Whoa.
The top things we look at when we snoop are the person's text messages, their photos and videos, and their browser history. The most concerning things we have found are flirtatious texts, proof of cheating, and evidence they have been lying in general. And when we do snoop, we usually get away with it. 81% of snoopers said that they have never been caught. You don't have to get caught to have bad karma with this.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that are coming. I don't like the term, but for lack of a better one, baggage. I've got tons of baggage. Somebody out there has got tons of baggage.
We all have history, especially at this point in our lives.
Exactly. A lot of us, I always kind of smirk when I hear this. Oh, I have trust issues. You join the club. Like, everybody's got trust issues. It's just a matter of layers, like some more than others and everything
Like
that.
Yeah, and there's different triggers for all of us.
Almost everybody has had the opportunity to do something like this. But I am very proud to say, and I could take a lie detector test on this one, I have never even thought, come close to this. And I have been in relationships where I have been very, I'm not confident about what's happening here. But that right there told me a lot. The fact that I had the feeling told me a lot. It told me, one, I got to talk to this person. I got to communicate with them. I can keep
have a conversation.
Yes. I can keep these thoughts in my head. And are they going to tell me the truth or not? I don't know. But at least I had the conversation. Mm-hmm. You have to at least put that forward. Otherwise, you can end up not being just as guilty, but you have blame in this too. And having a conversation about these things is going to go a lot farther and give you a lot more answers than snooping around. Snooping around, you're going to have things out of context. You're going to have things that aren't going to add up, and they're not going to make sense.
Right.
Asking these questions, again, not to say that they're going to be completely honest with you.
No, but at least you've made the attempt to communicate and have voiced your, maybe not voiced your specific feelings, but there are ways to have that communicated without saying explicitly, I don't trust you.
It could be a matter of maybe they are cheating, but it could also be a matter of, hey, you're finding out in real time here. I need more things to make me feel comfortable in a relationship. Talking it out can help you do that, help you discover, you and your partner discover that. It could be a real game changer for you just by having this conversation. I think more times than not, our instincts are right, and you need to trust those. But at the same time, again, we all have trust issues. So most of us go into a relationship with our fists clenched a little bit.
Yeah, later in life, for sure. I have to admit, I did this one time. And it was to confirm a suspicion of cheating. And yes, my husband was cheating on me. And so that then led to a divorce and down that road. But it's not something that I have ever done since then.
Yeah. And clearly you had, just cause to do it.
But since then, my trust issues of being able to not feel weird about a partner's phone.
Yeah.
I have since then always felt weird about it and tried to communicate that with my partners since then, which worked this time.
Yeah. I appreciate the honesty, Mel. Yeah. I really do.
Well, because it's not something you necessarily want to do. I mean, people that do it because they like to do it, that's a different story. But I do feel that there are some cases where that, I don't know if I can justify that I did it. Yeah. But I mean, I did prove myself correct, which I needed to know.
Right, right. And as far as judgment goes, that's not our place. It's not our place, not my place to judge, not anybody out there's place to judge you or anything like that. That's that's something between you and yours, you know? And I think when it comes to that part of it. I also think that there's something here, too, about... Cause, oh, for me, I look at it the other way around. Because for me, I'm with somebody. If I have concerns, I'm going to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a billion things before this even crosses my mind looking at their phone. But then the empathy, the overhyped empathy in me thinks of their perspective. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lock on my phone. I do not keep a lock on my phone. I keep it out in the open. I'm looking at it all the time. I got people messaging me work and these kind of things. So it's always open. Maybe I don't hit the right button and we're not being heard by somebody out there. So one of our great listeners lets me know. I've got my yes. phone right here to check that. Mm-hmm. My personal life is no different. I worry about my kids or my parents being able to get a hold of me. So I have my phone up or I have it flat face down so I can focus on the conversation I'm having with the person. Mm-hmm. But my phone is never locked. Anybody can jump into my phone if they want. I got nothing to hide. Mm. I want to give that to a partner. I want to give that to my friends. I want to show that trust and that investment in this relationship, that right. investment in this time, that investment in that communication.
Now, the one thing that was mentioned in that I think is worth having a conversation about, though, is snooping in your child's phone. That shouldn't be something that you need to do. That should be your phone is open to me at any time. And yeah. this is our conversation about yes. it. You yes. know, you can't hide things from me as a child from a parent. At least that's my opinion. I'm not a parent, but I would think if I had a child that and I bought them a cell phone and I'm paying the bill for that, then yes, we're going to have this as a open communication here.
Privacy is incredibly important. As our kids get older and go through maturity and hormones and all these things, we are trying to connect with them, trying to keep that relationship. They don't want to hug us anymore, all these things. It's tough. It's difficult. It's scary. It freaks mm-hmm. you out. Talk to them.
Yes, the internet is a scary place, and they're carrying it around on their person at younger and younger ages.
It's no different than with a significant other or something. You're going to get more information by talking to them than just getting a bunch of no context on the mm-hmm. phone and, oh, what's this? What's this? It freaks you out and all that. It's understandable. I 1,000% agree with you. 100%. As somebody who my mom and dad went, they gave me tons of privacy, but they went through my top drawer once or twice, and they should have. They were right to. They was very smart. They did. I'm lucky they did in some mm-hmm. ways. I'm completely opposite on this when it comes to your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because of part of what you were saying. Like there's a chain there that they'll learn from of responsibility mm-hmm. and accountability and all those things. That's a life lesson that can be learned right there.
And we know how much bullying is going on online.
Yes.
It's important for you to step in. And if your child is being a bully, to help right. them realize that and see that their actions are not okay.
Got to get to some good stories of the day now. We got some local stuff I want to touch on, like going on tonight. Assumption High School and Middle School have their spring choral concert. It is going on tonight at 6:30 in the Assumption High School Gymnasium. It is free and open to the public.
Yeah.
Support these kids. Go ahead and check out that event. Have some fun, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And also the Spring Salad Luncheon is on Saturday. Or no, let's see, what day is that? Not Saturday. Today. Hey, yeah. Today's
yeah.
the 9th.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time is a flat circle.
It is. So the spring luncheon and bake sale is today from 11 to 1. So it's going on very shortly. The bake sale begins at 10:30. And this is at St. Luke's Lutheran Church, 2011 10th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. They even have a fast line for workers on their lunch hour. So you can just dip in quick. It's $8 for adults. And then preschool and under is free. And carryouts are $8 too. So eat it there, you eat it to go, same price.
Yeah.
In and out.
And real quick, registration for Stuff the Desk is open. Stuff the School Bus and Desk is a collaborative community initiative led by the United Way to ensure every student has the supplies they need to learn. All mm-hmm. families with financial need are eligible to receive free school supplies. To participate, parents or guardians must register between now and August 3rd. And you can go to uwswac.org to find out more. You can also call 211 to find out more information as well yes. to register.
And the sooner you register, the sooner you can, you'll have more of a choice of time slots.
Yeah.
Because you choose that at the same time.
Be sure to spread the word about this to everybody. You know, yes, it is National Teacher Appreciation Week, so it's a good reason to do that, but there's never a bad time to be spreading the word about this great event and the good things that our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties are doing.
We appreciate them.
Looking at some big good world good stories of the day, two Ukrainian refugees came to the U.S. with their two-year-old daughter last year, and they're grateful to be here for more reasons than one. She's three now and was born deaf. But they got. But after they got settled in South Carolina, they took her to a hearing specialist where she got fitted for a cochlear implant.
Oh, a cochlear implant.
Cochlear, thank you. There's a great video of them turning it on last month. I never get tired of these videos of people hearing for the first time. It gets me all...
Seeing for the first time, seeing color for the first time. Those are... It's so cool.
I got no words for that. That's beautiful.
Wow.
A traffic camera in Fresno, California caught a guy on motorcycle helping a family of ducks cross a busy street last week.
Cute.
It's pretty cool. It's a good video. A woman on Staten Island just turned 104, and her secrets to a long life, lots of spinach, always taking the time to do her makeup when she goes out, and having one glass of beer every day.
Wow.
That's
you
her.
Go, girl.
Yep. Working for her. It's working.
104.
104. Nice.
It's incredible.
That is cool. And a woman in Canada had to drop out of college in 2013 to focus on her sobriety. But now, a decade later, she's 29, been sober 9 years, recently went back to school, and will graduate as valedictorian of her class next week.
Oh, way to go. Nice work.
This is incredibly impressive.
Way to persevere.
You beat some demons there, and you also got your degree. You inspired some people, and you're valedictorian. That's pretty darn cool. Way to go. Way to go. Great show today, Melissa. A lot of fun.
You too, James. Thank you.
Have a good morning.
You too.
Everybody else, stick around for Morning Magazine. We got that coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.